هعود مع حقير حال No matter why comes my way I take my storms in stride Still be fine in the rain
Welcome to Always On, a Yes podcast. This is Jovan Julian, the Storytelling and Alignment Integrator at YES. YES is a 30-year-old organization that works at the intersection of the personal, interpersonal, and systemic change. We co-organize transformative learning spaces called JAMS with partners all over the globe, working together to co-create spaces of creativity, passion, and commitment. When musicians come together to jam, they bring their unique instruments, skills, and styles, and together create a new collective sound. We build on that premise, bringing together social change makers like activists, organizers, healers, lawyers, educators, artists, and more to collaborate and co-liberate towards the world we want to see. On this show, and throughout the season, we'll be slowing down to hear story from jam facilitants, YES staff members, and of course, YES jammers, with a focus on how folks are adapting, adjusting, and evolving to meet the moment.
We're grateful for this opportunity to slow down with you today.
Today, we're super excited to have Alixa Garcia on the show with us. Alixa is a multidisciplinary artist who has infused our movements for justice with healing and imagination, inspiring thousands through her award-winning multimedia theater, visual art, world music, sustainable touring, and community organizing. I came to know their work as the co-founder and artistic director of Climbing Poetry, an internationally renowned award-winning multimedia theater, world music, and social justice spoken word duo. As well, she's a filmmaker and has received the Real Sisters Film Festival Award for Best Director and Best Vision for a great shift in the universal consciousness. Through multidisciplinary artistic mediums, Alixa is on a mission to overcome destruction with creativity. Thanks so much for being here with us. We're so excited to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. You're on Always On. You know, we're jamming forward. This year, where our sort of theme is the many flavors of jamming, whether that's Zoomy jams, online jams, in-person jams, jamming at work, YES at work. I'd love if maybe we could start with, like, what was your introduction to jams? What was your first jam like? Yeah, and anything that you want to say about that.
Well, my first introduction to jams came from my grandmama Esther Campos. She'd been telling me about the jams for years and had been asking me to apply, and the timing never fit. And she never fully explained what it was. It was always like, you just have to do it. And like, okay.
That's what they all say.
You just have to do it. And it was, the jam was going to be happening in Central America, which I guess was the first time it was happening in a Latin American country. And I'm from Colombia originally, and she was like, you just have to be there. It's going to be in our language. And the timing aligned. Everything just fit. I applied and I attended, and it was such a beautiful experience, especially to be a participant. I'm a facilitator. I've been a facilitator for 17 years, and I'm a social justice facilitator. And I'm always in the role of presenting. And so to be a receiver and to be carried through a journey of self-exploration and of collective exploration was very powerful for me. And yeah, I have incredible memories of that time. And, you know, the jam, I guess, from all the stories that I've heard from various people, it's like it happens to you in the moment that it's supposed to. And actually, I feel like my jam happened as soon as it was over. Like life started jamming me, and I was like, "Oh, that's what they're talking about." Shoot. But I've learned incredible tools in the process, and as many of y'all have, and that I apply in my work and in my life, personal and professional.
You make me think, as you talk about like the Central American context, the importance that I have. I'm committing to y'all on this show that in the future, I'm going to make sure that we have some programming in different languages, not to get stuck so much in the English programming, but to make sure that we're hitting the whole Jamily. So that's my commitment here. Thanks for bringing that forward and hitting me with it right at the beginning.
Nice.
Yeah, I got introduced to your work sort of through climbing poetry. And I'd love to start a little bit with what it's meant to move your work as a collaborative sort of enterprise, both there and with this new song that we're going to introduce in a little bit as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Naima and I have been working together and worked together for 17 years, just developing this. Like, how do we develop art as two very different people with a very similar end? You know, like, we believe in a more just and sustainable world, and that has always been our driving force. When we first met, we made a promise to each other, and it was like, which was a promise and an inquiry, and it said, you know, together we can love the world so much, and how much can we actually love the world together? And everything has been born from that space. And at the same time, it's created this incredible foundation for me as a musician and as an artist individually. And this piece that you are talking about, Fall Like Rain, is a collaboration that I did in 2020 with Christopher Wood, C. Wood. His musical name is Bravewater, and he's one of my favorite singer-songwriters, one of my favorite people to musically collaborate with. And we actually did a collaboration first on Intrinsic, which is the album Naima and I put out, the last album Naima and I put out. That album is a collaboration with 33 musicians, mostly people of color, mostly actually female-identified folks. It was such an incredible journey, and C's actually one of the few men in the project, but his energy and mine is so generative. From the first moment we met, we just started improvising. The first night we met in Hawaii, and we sang from, I don't know, like 7 p.m. to like 6 a.m. the next morning, the first time we met. Just like guitar playing, improvising in some hot springs with like a moon bow above us. And that energy has been flowing. And this piece, Fall Like Rain, looks at, because we started creating it a week before the pandemic and then really dove into the lyrics and into the crafting of the text during that first 2 months of the pandemic, it's a love song for the world, and it's a personal mantra to keep going despite the storms that are coming our way.
Well, let's maybe drop in for the listeners. I'm gonna play the song for y'all, and in a few minutes we'll come back, having listened to it a bit, to hear about where folks can hear from it and maybe ask a few more questions and dive in a little bit more to the feelings that came up.
I hold my head up high, no matter what comes my way. I take my storms in stride. And all that water, a soul lost in the wonder of all that got forgotten. Where the money made from cotton, the pollen and all that's rotten, the robin comes springtime blossom, the blossom that turns to autumn in the universe's garden. We're magic makers, circle shapers, mapping galaxies and symbols lost inside our spoken little twisted thunder. Where the knee-neck knuckled under, where the tears and all that water, a soul lost in the wonder of all that got forgotten. We're cyclical.
I hold my head up high, no matter where it
though they try to break us, they can't shake us. Take us to the edge so we can jump on their terms. They can't make us. Like ghosts, we disappear. Return like a leap year. We become the atmosphere of all that they once feared. I'm the lion and the deer, so I hold my head up high. Even though I try to break me, I can't shake me. I'm the open sky, I leap. Repeal all that forbade me. I'm your king, I'm your lady. Not scared of what awaits me. Your shady arrogance needs a makeover to face me. I entered all your spheres, I never disappeared. Transformed the atmosphere of all that I once feared. I'm the smallest molecule in a universal gear. I'm wide awake as I fly away where the wide awakes while you tide away. Over all the lies that you hid away. The day to day we're passageway to another world. It's just yesterday in an alleyway trying to lead astray, but we're underway to the Milky Way. What?
Maybe feel cold inside, maybe feel dark, maybe it's broke outside, maybe it's just a start. Maybe every single pain you've ever faced will wash away. Let it fall like rain.
If you're joining us before May 14th and you enjoyed that song that we just listened to, Fall Like Rain, please support Alixa and Brave Water by pre-saving or pre-ordering the song using the show link notes, using the link in the show notes. And if it's after May 14th and you enjoyed Fall Like Rain, then also please support Alixa and Brave Water by sharing the song and ordering it or listening to it on all music platforms.
I know artists, or the artists in my life often say that, like, you know, art is about being moved, about, like, moving the spirit. Yeah. And I'd love to hear, like, you mentioned, like, you started the song pre-pandemic and then really dove into it, like, right as it was starting. And as a love song for the world, I'd love to know, like, when did you, like, start tapping into your love for the world? When did art start becoming a part of your process? Yeah, and where does this song sort of sit in that journey of learning to create?
Yeah, I mean, it's been at the very beginning and at the very core. You know, before I even started climbing poetry with Naima at 19, I was doing social justice work and was working with the Beehive Collective. I don't know how many folks know about the Beehive Collective, but they do incredible visual work using animals some animals, but mostly insects and the insect world to break down very complex issues like Plan Colombia or the Free Trade Area of the Americas or NAFTA or privatization of water. At the time, they were doing a project around Plan Colombia, which is where I'm from. I'm originally from Colombia, Medellin, Antioquia. And I helped them draw some of that piece. It's an educational poster that breaks down state violence, environmental injustice, and land displacement through visuals. And I saw firsthand the power of art, like visual art then, and then later through my work with Climbing Poetry, the power of music and of poetry and of theater to communicate very intense realities. One, the educational element, also the inspirational element, and third, the heart element. And I feel like that's the power of art, to really become this sharp arrow that gets us where it means something, where it activates us into meaningful and tangible action. this song kind of falls in that line. This song, yes. But the thing that I've learned being an activist for so long and being an organizer is that, even to prevent my own burnout and such, is that, as important as it is to see and to point out and to break down the systems of terror that conflate us and that we've inherited, it's almost more important to show new vision of what is mm-hmm. what is possible. Absolutely. To inspire what is to come, to be in a space of imagination and exploration when it comes to the creativity of the music and the poetry and the art. And you know, I feel like that's always been there, but the more and more I do this work, I'm like, how do I create from a place of even more joy, even more beauty, even more metaphor, even more imagery, so that, yeah, we're left with a good taste in our mouth, even though we're swallowing a hard-ass pill.
Yeah, how do you make swallowing that pill irresistible?
Irresistible, you know? Yeah. Truth without grace is just cruelty, right? Mm. Truth without grace is cruelty. So the more grace, the more beauty, that the more story that you wrap around any truth, the more digestible it will be. And so I've definitely taken it upon myself to make that my career of choice.
Yeah. You know, as you name that, I definitely have been in a long conversation with a friend about truth and grace and love, and like how any one of those things can really, if you only focus on one, it can sort of, in my experience, roll over into like not being a full version of itself. But when you mix those pieces together, it really becomes something that folks can stand on. Yeah. I'm wondering, you know, as you speak about that, as you speak about the grace and the truth, what has that looked like for you in this year of storms?
For me, I've been touring and traveling 5.5 months to 9 months out of the year until the pandemic hit. Luckily, Naima and I decided to take a sabbatical year for 2020, which was, I really felt taken care of by the universe, by the great mother in that moment, because we listened, you know, and a message was sent to us. It's like, this is the year to stop and slow down. And I think that when we become present and work for the continuation of the universe, you know, the intelligence of the universe, we are reciprocated with gifts like this. And so I've leaned so much on that alone. And also, personally, I've turned to my visual art tremendously. And that has brought me a whole other series of doors to open and explore through. And I think that there's a lot of grace in my visual art and how I present yet a continuation of these hard truths, but in a slightly different way. Writing from a different place, writing from stillness, creating from stillness is something I haven't known since I was 19 years old. And that, I think, has allowed a lot of grace in my life. And I'm creating from a different place. And therefore, my art feels and sounds different. You know, there's less of an urgency and there's more of an embracing in the art, I feel, energetically.
Yes. And if you know Alixa mostly through climbing poetry, I cannot recommend enough going to alixagarcia.com and checking out the visual art, the writing, the music, the multi-potentate, I don't know how to say that word, but whatever that word is, that is truly what that site exemplifies. And I really want to uplift, like earlier you mentioned, like both telling the story of what's come before, but also like carving out a vision of what's possible in the future. And I think your art, for me, really does that. Both really being grounded in the truth of like what has come before, in the reality of it, in the having grace for how it's come about, but also being very transparent about it. But then also opening up so much space for folks to dream, for me to dream into what might be possible. And I'm thinking particularly of the writing piece that you have under your writings. Mm. It really pushed me to consider. I've been having thoughts about like what is this world we're living in, and how did we get here, and do we choose to get out of it? The universe will continue, but will we? As humans, are we going to rise to the moment and decide to be a part of this amazing ecosystem? Or will we, will we let the fever wipe us out?
Totally. I mean, I do feel like we are the universe witnessing itself unfold. I feel like that is what we've been put here to do. That's why we have this incredible intelligence for music and for poetry and for science and for literature and for math. And it's like, we have all these incredible tools in order to become so aware and almost prove that the universe is around us, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's what we do all day, like that we've invented cameras. I'm like, we've captured memories, you know? It's like, it's what we do. Same thing with like, I feel like we used to be telepathic for sure. And many of us still are like, yeah, we're telepathic, but like we invented telephones because it's what humans do. And I have a big question right now. I think we are in the midst of we're definitely, in the beginning of the sixth extinction. 200 species are going extinct every single day. 7 languages are going extinct every single week. And when you think about those numbers, like 200 species every single day disappear from planet Earth. Holy shit. You know, and honestly, humans, we're the 1%. We're like at the very top of this pyramid that we've created for ourselves. But if you know anything about pyramids, if you don't got a base, it's gonna fall. And so for me, I've been really thinking this year, especially with COVID, and it's remarkable that we have these vaccines, and we'll see where that really goes and what actually comes of this moment. But before the vaccines, and even through these vaccines, because I'm like, what is a vaccine? This vaccine might just be a band-aid on a big gouge. And the truth of the matter is,
it almost certainly is, in fact. But let me step out of my science PhD.
No, for real.
And
honestly, it is a band-aid. Even if for some reason we're able to be like, okay, we addressed COVID and it's not an issue, the amount of viruses and pandemics that are coming our way just from the ice caps melting, just from viruses that are trapped in ice and literally are being released into the air as more ice caps melt. Like, that's a real thing. And it's not a thing that even that people are thinking. And that's just the ice caps. there is so many rabbit holes we could go into on this one, and definitely not enough time. And so I've really been sitting with, like, where do our souls go if and when there is no life to return to? Like, if there is no embodiment to return to, because we're just energy. Energy cannot be destroyed. So when we die, we go somewhere, you know? And in my personal belief, that energy is in a loop, you know? Just because if you look at anything in nature, anything in the universe, it circles. Everything circles and loops and comes back around and feeds itself. And it's like when you see the birth of a star, that was really for me when I saw the birth of a star and understood the birth of stars. I was like, oh, that's what happens to us when we die. I get it. Nest. Okay, cool. And so I've been really in that conversation. And I think my essay explores that for anybody who wants to read it. It really is looking at where are we environmentally? And what is our addiction to convenience at this moment? What has COVID done to slow us down, to pause us? Like, I along with a number of people call this the great pause, but are we taking real advantage of it, or are we just figuring out new ways? Like, oh, we'll just keep the whole system moving really fast. We'll just turn it into Zoom. Yeah, but the thing has got to keep going. It's like, no, dude, this is a huge opportunity to slow down, to way slow down, because we're about to eat ourselves whole. And then, And then the third is like, what is the conversation of our souls in the context of this mass extinction, when there is so much death happening right now all around us, human, creature, flora, fauna, like all of it. There's such an incredible death that whether we know of it consciously, we're definitely, most definitely feeling it unconsciously. There's no getting away from this understanding to some extent. And it might appear as depression. It might appear as apathy. It might appear as like workaholism or alcoholism or whatever. But I don't think we get to escape these truths. And either we face them or we become, you know, I don't know, an outcome of them, I guess.
Yeah. That's all the way right. And as you know, spoke about the vaccine and this moment and the pause, I think that brings up, like, my biggest question in this moment is, you know, are we charting a new path, or how do we chart a new path? Do we slow down enough to pick a new route? Or have we just taken a pause on the side of the road? And now that we have the vaccine, as you said, you know, we start marching even faster and further down a road that, if I look down it, I'm not sure how it leads to somewhere worthwhile, or somewhere where my energy can continue to be embodied, which I have some interest in. I was wondering if you might be open to reading the last two paragraphs of A Sunrise Across Brooklyn. I really, you know, as you said, I would push everyone to read the whole thing. I think every single word and paragraph and sentence in it is so essential. And, you know, I think it would be cool just to give the listeners just a little taste of it, as one sort of inducement to head to the site later on.
Beautiful. Yeah. Okay. So the whole essay closes with, "Will we divest from the monsters that promise to eat us whole? I, not unlike you, have been guilty of participating in comfort economies while the earth begs us to breathe. Now it is we who are begging to breathe. Will we plant gardens and collaborate with the earth? Will we demand just systems to ensure our participation? Will we participate in our own rescue? Will we activate our imagination? In this great pause, will we teach our children to love this world back into existence? As the sun now rises directly into my eyes, I'm left wondering if the stars will eulogize us as the perfect reflection of the cosmos gone awry. Will they permanently ink the universal scrolls with stories of how our greed and complacency kept us from ever joining the celestial destiny set before us? Or will they eulogize us as part of their cohort, our stardust bodies having realized on the 11th hour that indeed we could change everything, and we did."
As you leave us with those words, I want to say thank you for your time. Thank you for this moment spent with us. And thank you for the many moments that your art has captured. You spoke about telepathy and memories, and I think art does that for me. It lets me slow down and to feel a part of your soul, to feel a part of your experience and the experiences of others that you're bringing into conversation with my own. So I want to invite everyone to check out our show notes, and to check out Alixa's new song with Brave Water and David Williamson, Fall Like Rain. If you check the show notes, you'll be able to check it out on Spotify, on iTunes, wherever you get your music. And we'll leave you with these beautiful tunes one last time. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Always On, a Yes podcast. Join us in the next few weeks for more episodes of Season 2. And if you're interested in participating in a future episode, please email us at Jovan, J-O-V-A-N, at yesworld.org. See you next week.
lost in the wonder of all that got forgotten. We're the money made from cotton, the pollen and all that's rotten. The robin comes springtime blossom, the blossom that turns to autumn. In the universe's garden, we're magic makers, circle shapers, mapping galaxies and symbols lost inside our spoken riddle. Twisted thunder, we're the knee-neck knuckled under. We're the tears and all that water, a soul lost in the wonder of all that got forgotten. We're cyclical.
I hold my head up high. No matter where it comes my way, Lord, take my storms in stride. 'Cause it could be fun.
Up high, even though they try to break us, they can't shake us, take us to the edge so we can jump on their terms. They can't make us like ghosts, we disappear, return like a leap year. We become the atmosphere of all that they once feared. I'm the lion and the deer, so I hold my head up high, even though I try to break me. I can't shake me, I'm the open sky. I leap, repeal all that forbade me. I'm your king, I'm your lady, not scared of what awaits me. Your shady arrogance needs a makeover to face me. I entered all your spheres, I never disappeared. Transformed the atmosphere of all that I once feared. I'm the smallest molecule in a universal gear. I'm wide awake as I fly away where the wide awakes while you tide away. But for all the lies that you hid away, the day to day, we're a passageway to another world. It's just yesterday in an alleyway trying to lead astray. But we're underway to the Milky Way. What?
Maybe feel cold inside, maybe feel dark. Maybe it's broke outside, maybe it's just a start. Maybe every single pain you've ever faced will wash away if you let it fall like rain. Let it fall like rain. Let it fall.